I'd like to call to order a work session of the Oak Ridge Board of Education. There is one item on the agenda, as you see before you, and that is budget development discussion. So we'll need approval of the agenda. Do I hear a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Eby, seconded by Ms. Agel. Any questions, discussions? All those in favor of approving the agenda signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Tonight's purpose, after having had the opportunity to get the budget document, hear the superintendent's budget presentation, as well as information regarding the BEP, I know that there have been several questions that have been forwarded to the superintendent or to Mr. Lay for responses to. So really, tonight's work session is directed toward any additional questions or concerns that you might have about the budget. We can review, if necessary, any items that were in the superintendent's budget presentation, questions to Karen in regard to any financial aspects of the budget, primarily just a time for questions and answers. There might not be a lot, and if they're not, we'll get out of here early. If there are, we'll stay till we get them answered. And then Monday night, we'll be back, and that will be a more lengthy meeting where we'll have a discussion as we go over the line-by-line item. So, Dr. Borchers, I'll turn over to you for any comments that you might want to make at this point in time.
I think you summarized it very well, Mr. Chairman. We're going to put one, we have a couple slides that maybe we can just put up here for remembering what we talked about, but I thought we'd put our new investment staffing and then that grand total investment, and then the next slide would be the projected number, that 1.8 number, and then the ask that we would have from the city of approximately $538,000. And as you mentioned, this is the board's opportunity to tell us if you want something to look different in that line by line. So if you can let us know if you want any changes, that'd be helpful, and then we'll get that ready for our next meeting.
Questions? Ms. Agel.
I don't have any changes, but I have a couple of questions right at the very beginning on page Roman numeral 2, the changes to general fund from federal funds. Mostly to do with the preschool. Is that related to the fact that all elementary schools will be Title I next year, or is it the decrease in Title I funds? And if we've got more students on free and reduced lunch, how did we get less Title I funds?
I'll let Dr. Beckendorf take these fund title questions.
The reason for the change of moving some of the federal project staffing from Title I to the general fund is because the way the model that has been used in Oak Ridge for many years has prioritized Title I funding for the preschool. And what the state is looking for is a greater percentage allocation of Title I funding starting in kindergarten. So what we're trying to do here is we're trying to move a little bit how we're doing our expenditures so that a greater percentage of our title fund is spent at the in our four elementary schools rather than in the preschool. So what that does require is to have some of the preschool expenses, essentially what has been paid for out of title, to be paid for by the general fund. But the state has told us now for two school years that we have to transition into having the preschool be a respectively lower percentage of our Title I allocation usage.
And Dr. Beckford, can you tell, because a lot of this is initiated by we're having someone else supervise Title I next year in this budget. Can you speak a little bit to that?
Yes. So part of what we're proposing here is that rather than having the preschool principal supervise Title I. Now that Title I is essentially a pre-K-4 initiative, what we want to do is have the Title I supervisor be outside of the preschool so that we have a more system-wide approach. And also, it's getting very burdensome for the preschool principal, because when Title I was isolated at the preschool, it made a lot of sense. But now that it's going all the way up to grade four, it's become quite a burden. And so we want a system-wide perspective on Title I. And in addition, like I said, the state has told us for two school years now that we have to transition into having more of our allocation of Title I be focused on essentially our elementary schools.
Mr. Eby.
So it should be a zero-sum game that if more is going into the elementary schools, then some of that money that was in the elementary schools then gets turned back to the preschool. So it should be a zero-sum game, right?
Theoretically, but it isn't.
Why not?
Because sometimes some of what we've had to do is pretty close to a zero, what did you say? Zero-sum game. Pretty close. So, for example, a supervisor who was paid 0.5 out of Title I is now being paid 0.5 out of the general fund, and someone who's being paid 0.5 out of the general fund is now being paid 0.5 out of Title. So that's pretty close. The salaries aren't exactly identical, so it's not zero-sum, but it's fairly close. But in addition, in order to meet the percentage requirements, we have had to move one teaching assistant from the preschool, from the Title I pay to the general fund pay. So that did take a little bit more money out of the general fund.
But I still don't understand. But if that person was being paid before from the preschool funds, those Title I funds wouldn't be used to pay that principal. So that would go up to the elementary schools, right? So I don't see how it's not just the fact that you were paying for it before out of a Title I, and now you're paying for it out of the general fund. What happened to the Title I funds that was paying for that teacher before?
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, the Title I funds that we're paying for, in this case the teaching assistant, will be used in the elementary schools. That is correct. Now, it might, just the way the budget is written, it might not exactly be a staffing swap like the way it was a swap with the supervisor was a straight swap like that. But yes, the money will go into the elementary school, so that is offset.
But our total Title I funds that we had in the past are going to be the same, or with some modification increase or something like that, than what they were last year, and it's just going to get spread out. It's not going to be primarily for the preschool. Some of it's going to be in the preschool, and some of it's going to go to the elementary.
No, Bob, if you look at page 16, it's item 471.41. It's showing a 20% drop in Title I revenue from 1.257097 down to 1,042,077.
Sorry, I didn't mean to click, but I believe some of that is due, in fact, to carryover that's not available this year that was available this year that really inflated the number for the year we're in.
I'd like to second that. So part of what happened with the, again, how the state has been telling us that we have to have these certain percentage of allocations go into our elementary schools. When we went on to targeted assistance for Woodland, Linden, and Glenwood this year, we essentially had to use monies for those schools that hadn't been used in the past, because it used to be just Willowbrook and the preschool. So this past year, we had an increased expenditure for Title I for the targeted assistance. And then, of course, next year, we're going full Title I pre-K-4.
Would you go back to the slide that has the amount we'll be asking City Council for? Karen, is there anything that you're particularly watching or concerned about that would have an impact on that request to City Council, up or down?
Yes.
Okay, next question.
Yes, definitely. The BEP is a big one, because if you remember, we were cautioned by the state that a number of districts were having difficulties reporting their attendance correctly, their ADMs correctly. And as those are corrected throughout the state, the money will be dispersed accordingly in the next estimate, which comes out mid-month each month. So we should be getting another estimate soon. I don't know if it'll be soon enough for our meetings coming up. That's one concern. The other concern is obviously the county revenue. Although I've been pretty conservative, but as we receive another month of revenue, then I will feel more confident, because I had to guess these remaining months based on previous trends. So I feel less worried or concerned about the county revenues than I do the BEP, just because it can be so different with so many districts changing. So.
And Karen, you've double checked with our folks that run the ADM kind of piece there, and we feel like our number's correct. So it's more the other districts, if they're not correct, that could be that issue. But we're hopeful that,
yes,
that what we had was going to be the number in June.
Other questions at this point in time? Mr. Eby.
And I don't know if you can answer this now or not, but I came up with it last night. I know we don't have ROTC in here. That's one of our seven keys. Where do we stand on that, and what would it take to fund that?
It's at a stalemate at this point. I think the number to get the Navy program going was around $150,000, I believe.
Are they ready to, if we had the funds, would they be ready to move forward on it? Or is this something that, you know, again, there's too many ROTCs around the area, and this would take some time before we could get?
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the program prior to being named an ROTC, but we would have to fund that program ourselves. If anybody remembers what that's called, let me know. But I think you're familiar with it, Mr. Eby. So we would have to fund that until we got to a certain participation level, and then they would say, okay, now you're an ROTC, and then they would pick up much more of the funds. So I believe what was going to happen, because we needed one less classroom going the Navy route, was that we would be able to house that in the high school. So we really wouldn't have to have that cost of renovating that upper floor there on G building. So it's really just kind of the startup money, and
so that's like $150,000.
I believe that's the marker, but I can certainly get that to the board. Yep.
Others? Well, Karen, I'll just come back to you again. One of the items that sometimes, and maybe I'm just asking you this question just so we can continue to get the information, and maybe somewhere along the line somebody will hear it and it'll make sense to them. But one of myself anyway, I have a hard time sometimes getting a person who might ask to understand exactly about our fund balance and the necessity of having a fund balance, and we say this often, to be able to meet payroll. Just for the sake of explaining that again, just so it can be out there again, would you do that?
Sure. I'm trying to simplify it in just generic terms. If you can think about yourself or being employed, most people's check is the same every month, and they pretty much know what their expenditures are going to be, and maybe they fluctuate certain months, but they pretty much know. In our case, we don't have a check that comes every month that's the same. We have revenues from various areas, from the county, from the state, from the city, and certain, like the BEP doesn't come in certain months of the year, in July, and we have expenditures going out every month. So while it looks like you can see, like in April, March and April, our fund balance is really high up there, but once we start paying out all the salaries for the end of the year, for the summertime, for the end of the contract, and the other expenses, normal expenses we have during the month, you can see how quickly that gets depleted. And then, for example, when we don't get that BEP payment, then in October, you can see how low it is every year. So it's a moving target by the month, depending on what revenue comes in and what expenditures go out. And that's why we always have to look at that when we determine how much of fund balance we can use to offset a budget deficit. We have to look at, in any given month, what is the history of the expenditures we had and the revenues we had coming in, and how much of a amount do we have to keep in there to cover those expenses. Does that help?
Well, yes.
Okay.
And I actually had this question asked, and I didn't have an answer, so I'm asking, what would happen to a school district, ours, for example, that drop below in their fund balance the recommended amount by the state? What would happen?
Well, some school districts sort of go bankrupt. I mean, we have to be able to pay our expenses, our obligations, our contracts. We would look to the city, who would probably look the other way. I mean, because they're not budgeting to support us, you know, in that kind of circumstance. I don't know if the state of Tennessee allows it, but some states allow school districts to have like a short-term borrowing until their state money comes in. The recommended amount at the state level is accessible if you request to the state that you're in dire straits and you have to use some of that 3%. So we can do that. But I'm taking that your question even drops below the 3%, so we don't even have enough to make.
I think what the person was really asking when they ask this question, if we dropped below 3%, is there a penalty that the state would place on that district because they've gone below the 3%? That's what they were really asking.
I believe that they used to impose a penalty, and now it's more of a you would have to work with them on why. I mean, first of all, you'd have to ask permission to dip into that 3%, so they would have to be giving you permission to do it. It would be frowned upon. We would probably have an audit finding. So wouldn't it be positive?
Can't they come in and look at the viability of the school system?
Would they? Could they?
Could they?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought, that they could. If you drop below that, they could come in and look at the viability.
And sometimes the state will take over as well. Mm-hmm.
Other questions?
Let me ask one more question on the ROTC. So we paid $150,000 startup. Then if you had the number of participants, then in subsequent years, the Navy picks up all the cost?
I think it was half the cost after a two-year period of hitting that enrollment mark. But I can certainly get that back to you.
Appreciate that. Thank
you. Okay. No other questions? Concerns? All right. Hearing none. We will come back on Monday ready to review line by line. I learned this probably either my first or second year on the board. So I will say this. I think I say it every, you know what I'm going to say? If you make a change or request a change in the budget, and it's, you need to make sure you understand the difference between non-recurring and recurring dollars, because if you take something out and don't have something to replace it, then Karen will frown at you and point her finger at you because you can't do that. So I learned after I had this very elaborate plan what I was going to do. She said, well, how, where are you going to, and I didn't have an answer. I said, well, I don't guess, oops. So, yeah, right. Okay. So if you want to take something out or you want to add something in, make sure you deal with recurring or non-recurring dollars. And if you replace something or move something, make sure you have that understanding, and we'll go from there. With that said, we're adjourned.